You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour.
Hi, I'm Glenn Campbell.
On Radio TFI.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That keeps you in the back roads by the rivers of my memory. It keeps you ever gentle on my mind. Like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo. Like a rhinestone cowboy, Galveston, oh Galveston, I still hear your sea waves crashing while I watch the cannons flashing. I clean my gun and dream of Galveston. By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. And I need you more than want you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Good morning. Listening to another edition of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. I'm John Shannon, along with my benevolent, wonderful co-host, Mr. Ed Van Ness. Good morning, sir.
Probably turn up my microphone volume. There you go. Good morning, all.
Yeah.
It's technical difficulty day. Oh, we'll get into all that soon enough. But
dude, can I tell you that I didn't hear any of that music, by the way?
No.
I didn't hear a peep.
Ay, caramba. No wonder you couldn't...
Yeah, and then you pointed at me somewhere along the way there, and I figured, I guess that means it's time.
Yep. Oh, what a shame. Well, when you listen to the playback, if there's anything to play back at all, we're streaming.
Mm.
So, anyway, like I said, welcome, kids, to Technical Difficulty Day, because this is big-time professional radio.
Yeah. Well, we decided to change the way we communicate to this, and that we are communicating now via Skype together, and we're broadcasting through the TFI radio network, or Radio TFI, excuse me. It's broadcasting, so hopefully you're hearing us, and hopefully, well, Jesus, there's now even a new way to join in the conversation if you care to, and that's through Skype. You can either tag me here, John Shannon, or look up ed.van.ness, and we'll get you on to join in the conversation here. So brand new old way to communicate here.
Hey,
with
John.
Us.
Hey, John, why are we using Skype to bring people into the conversation today?
Oh, other than the... Other than the other failure,
yeah,
who knows?
We seem to have lost our talk number. I'm not really sure what happened, but we don't have access to the 720 number, at least for today. I don't know. It might be gone forever. So if you call that number, you're going to be asked for an access code that we just simply do not have. So, again, as John said, if you want to contact us, we're here on Skype. It's kind of new to us to connect through. We're actually watching each other right now, and just a brief on the opening, presuming everybody else on the planet but John heard it. That was a brief tribute to the late great Glenn Campbell. Being a child of the 60s myself, I remember the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour. Oh, hi, okay. I'm Glenn Campbell. And the man was a master songwriter. And I really didn't appreciate him until the past couple of years. His struggles with Alzheimer, and I watched something on that, and I bought his Greatest Hits album. And I've really listened to his lyrics, and his lyrics are just, I mean, haunting. The man was a master at what he did, and he will truly be missed.
Well, Wichita Lineman, I don't think he wrote Wichita Lineman, did he?
I don't know off the top of my head.
That was probably the most haunting song of any of them that he's done. Of course, at one time, I remember in my adolescence, that Rhinestone Cowboy was actually one of my favorite songs.
Now, do you know who has performed Rhinestone Cowboy?
Who's that?
Well, they did a movie based on it, starring Sylvester Stallone.
No way. Was it called Rhinestone?
It was called Rhinestone Cowboy. Maybe it was just Rhinestone. Maybe it was just
Rhinestone. I think Dolly Parton was in it, too, if I'm not mistaken.
There you go. But you know who also performed that song on his show?
Huh?
Johnny Carson.
Really?
To my understanding, the only time he ever sung on The Tonight Show.
And it's probably a first and glad to be the last.
And, yes, that was basically his statement on it. So,
well, we can celebrate something else here.
How's that?
Well, we can celebrate the fact that we haven't been hit with nuclear bombs yet.
So far,
yeah.
The day is young.
Yeah. The rhetoric keeps piping up between President Trump and Kim Dun Won.
You mean some dumb fuck?
Yeah, pretty much. Have you ever seen two more maniacal world leaders in your entire life?
Outside of cartoons?
Yeah, outside of cartoons, really.
No. It's not a reality TV show, and he needs to understand that. Both of them are just...
It's not pro wrestling.
No, it is not, and... I know you're a fan of that sport.
Well, that's why I recognize it. That's why it is. It's just like they do what they call promos.
What do they call the bad guys? The
heels.
Heels. That's what I'm looking for. Heels.
Well, there is no baby face in this. You got two heels shit talking to each other. And I don't think that Kim understands what he's dealing with here. He has, I'm telling you, Trump is itching to push that button.
Yeah.
He is itching to push it, and there is no... he launches anything towards Guam, we're into World War III, Jack, I'm telling you.
There is no question. By the way, I was watching Real Time with Bill Maher last night, and very interesting. He addressed... Donkey Kong Un, whatever his name is, directly. He said, look, you've got one friend on this planet, and it's Dennis Rodman. And they showed a map of where Rodman lives. He lives here in L.A., so you don't want to... Your friend lives here. Don't nuke us here.
I tweeted Dennis Rodman, and I tried to impress on him that it would probably be a good idea to try to slap him upside the head and say, hey, listen, this is real shit here you're talking about.
Well, I don't think Rodman's all that concerned about it. I think he's looking for a fiery exit.
Yeah. Well, there's another one. You know, people, birds of a feather, I guess, if you you can call it that.
Rodman lives his life as he lives his life.
Yeah.
As long as he's... Look, he got the bed Carmen Electra, so, you know, he's doing something right. You got the marrier, so, you know, I give the man kudos for that. As boorish as that sounds for me. By the way, we didn't have a chance to discuss this off air. You put out an invitation last night or yesterday to somebody by the name of Baked Alaska.
Yes.
Okay. Did you happen to look and see who this person really is?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should have. He is one of these people that would have been involved in Charlottesville last night in West Virginia. With the he's a right-wing, wingnut nationalist, white supremacist nationalist.
Well, I'd have liked to have, would have loved to have had him on the show. Okay, then.
Well, just understand. I mean, it was an interesting video, and I've got my own take on it. But as I read more and more of the comments, that started coming to light.
And oh, I saw all the comments that were on it on that tweet, and you know, to almost a man, they were all right wing racist comments.
Well, let's back up for those that may not know what we're talking about. There was a video circulating on Twitter yesterday of three millennial white guys got kicked out of an Uber driven by an African-American woman. Now, they recorded her, and all she kept saying was, "You're racist, you're racist, you're racist." She never explained why, at least not on the video. Now, as it came out, apparently what had happened was they went by a building in D.C. I don't remember the name of the building. The National Museum, African American History, something like that. And they said that the building was ugly. And apparently that's what set this woman off. They said the building. Now, I don't know for sure that that's true. But that seems to be the consensus of what happened. But again, your mileage may vary. Batteries not included.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that I don't, you see, what I don't I can't put my head around is okay, when you are driving the public around, you know, a gypsy cab, that's all Uber is anyways, a gypsy cab service, when you're doing that, you have to deal with all kinds of people, and a lot of them you may not like. And sometimes, unless they're violent or gonna hurt you, hurt your vehicle or whatever, sometimes you just have to take them to where they're going and then go home and take a hot shower to get that scum off of you.
I believe the phrase you're looking for is "suck it up, buttercup."
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That is exactly what I mean. And she was shaking because she couldn't even she was trying to put her key. She couldn't start her car. She kept fuddling and trying to put the keys in the switch.
Well, she had 40 pounds worth of keys on the key ring. My God. I have put a ban on that kind of stuff from my drivers because what people don't realize this, and it takes a while, but it only has to happen one time for you to get how serious this is. If you have a key ring with 20 pounds of keys, eventually you're going to mess up your ignition. It's going to pull down, pull down, pull down. So I made sure nobody, you know, look, I gave you a key ring with the key. That's when it's in the car, that's all you need. You don't need your 40 pounds of keys you've been carrying around for the last 50 years for apartments that don't exist anymore. But anyway.
Changed the lock on those apartments.
Huh? Sit up.
Excuse me?
See, this is the problem when I can see you now. You got to understand, folks, we've never done a show where we could actually see each other. John contacted me on the Skype during the week, and the last time I had tried Skype was in the late 50s when the technology was still new and not nearly as good as it is now, and I've been thoroughly impressed with how clear a signal it is and all that. So now every time we communicate, we're doing it through Skype, and so this is new for us, again, to be able to see each other during a broadcast, especially during a live broadcast. So
And the funny part about it was the first time I logged on Skype, I didn't have a shirt on, and you should have seen Ed turn white.
That was just wrong for so many reasons, on so many levels. That's not the way you introduce yourself to somebody. I'm sorry, yeah. Wrong. there must be a department of something in Minnesota to prevent such things. That was just
just report it to the FCC.
Somebody, or the Wildlife Federation, or the World Wrestling Federation, for that matter.
Yeah, no kidding. So I got to ask you something now. Are you a fan of Shameless?
I'm a huge fan of Emmy Rossum.
You're absolutely right.
I don't watch the show, though.
You don't watch the show?
No.
Oh, my God. I am not a binge watcher, but there are three shows that I can think of that Annie and I sat and binge watched. The first one was Parenthood.
Okay, I enjoyed that. It was
Parenthood was a great show.
Mm-hmm. A little too soap opera-ish at times, but for the most part, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and for the life of me now, I can't think of what the second one was, but the third one, Shameless. We sat and we would spend 6 hours or more catching up with Shameless. It is funny. It is raunchy. It is real.
Yes, yes. I it was one of those shows that when I had Showtime, I knew it was there. I watched a couple little bits of episodes, and I'm not going to lie. I'm quite smitten with Emmy Rossum.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm quite smitten with her. And but beyond that, I really... William H. Macy, I can take or leave sometimes. He's a great actor. Don't misunderstand me. But sometimes I just want nothing to do with that man, and this happens to be one of those times.
It's the perfect role for him. Frank Gallagher was the perfect role for William H. Macy.
All right, if you insist.
It was.
Okay. You can argue
it was.
For me.
Take my word for it.
Your word has been taken. It's been put in a special box, and it's there where I can view it at any time.
And piss on it when you want.
Well, hey, you know, that pretty much goes without saying. But
anyways, Shameless Season 8 will be beginning November 5th, and I, for one, cannot wait.
We're doing promos now for premium TV. Is that what we're doing?
That's what we're doing.
Because it just sounded like a plug.
Showtime, I hope the check is in the mail. Okay.
Start lining up the sponsors. Wow.
Exactly.
And again, folks, if you want to join in, look us up on Skype. That's how we're communicating today. I'm not really sure how to do a group thing yet, but it'll be fun to learn. So look up under my name, Ed Van Ness, John Shannon. You'll find us.
Well, and the other thing that you can do, if you want to communicate and don't have Skype or whatever, you can always get on the Twitter, at Taxi Stand Hour. You can tweet us a message. We'll respond to it, maybe. So we got a few headlines to get into here that are related to our industry. So out in California, San Francisco and Los Angeles now are looking for Uber to pay another $15 million for violating a settlement. $15 million more. That's how much San Francisco and Los Angeles prosecutors say Uber needs to pay for violating a prior legal settlement. The two counties made their case before a judge in San Francisco on Friday, and this was Friday of last, not this past Friday. This all stems from a case that was settled last year when Uber already paid the two counties $10 million. In that settlement, Uber also agreed to fix violations, including misleading advertising on their driver background checks and charging airport service fees. The district attorney's office on Friday argued that Uber violated the settlement by failing to submit a certification of compliance by the April deadline. Records also show that drivers were making unauthorized trips to the airport, the DA's office said. Now, this was something that was supposed to be settled by this judge this Friday or yesterday, and I haven't seen any news on that one way or another. But it is like Uber always does. They violate the rule. Now what they're doing is they've had the rules made for them, and now they're violating those rules. And it's their culture. It's the whole culture with Uber. So I don't know. I will have to see with that. I mean, let's face it, any more $15 million is pretty much chump change for Uber. So we'll see what happens.
For the moment, but they're getting to the point of they're going to start running out of cash any time now. There's another story that came up this week regarding get it up here. Benchmark Capital, one of Uber's earliest investors.
Mm-hmm.
They're suing Uber and our boy Travis Kalanick on claims of fraud, breach of fiduciary duty, and breach of contract. Now, the lovely and talented Deirdre Bosa of CNBC did a quick report on that, and she sums it up much better than I can. So I'm going to play this quick piece of tape.
We now have a statement from a spokesperson for Travis Kalanick, the former Uber CEO, in response to VC firm and Uber investor Benchmark suing Kalanick for fraud. We brought this to you not long ago. The statement reads, "The lawsuit is completely without merit and riddled with lies and false allegations. This continued evidence of Benchmark acting in its own best interest, contrary to the interests of Uber, its employees, and its other shareholders. Benchmark's lawsuit is a transparent attempt to deprive Travis Kalanick of his rights as a founder and shareholder and to silence his voice regarding the management of the company he helped to create. It lastly says that Travis will continue to act in the interests of Uber and all of its stakeholders and is confident that these entirely baseless claims will be rejected." So in no uncertain terms, Kelly and Mike, Kalanick's spokesperson, hitting back hard against that lawsuit that came out earlier today from Benchmark. And we'll be tracking this very closely to see how it goes. But it is certainly a very heated case right now. It's been going on for some time, and now it's all out in the open.
That's Deirdre Bosa of CNBC.
Another clip I didn't hear.
Okay. All right. Well, it was very intriguing, and she said lovely things about you.
I'll have to take your word for it, I guess.
And also from CNBC, an article by Laura Kolodny. For those of you that actually did hear the clip, the spokesperson for Travis Kalanick, I have the text of the statement in front of me. And he says that the lawsuit is completely without merit and riddled with lies and false allegations. Oh my goodness. Somebody made up stuff about Travis? Travis would have nothing to do with lies and false allegations. My goodness, being the super duper honest company that Uber has proven to be. There's also continued evidence the Uber claims of Benchmark acting in its own best interest contrary to the interest of Uber. Yes, we wouldn't want anybody to do anything that's not in the best interest of Uber. And it goes on to say that the lawsuit is a transparent attempt to deprive Travis Kalanick of his rights as founder and shareholder and to silence his voice regarding the management of the company he helped to create. Well, gee, Travis, if you hadn't acted like such a dick. Earlier in the article, there's one other thing I want to quote specifically. The lawsuit alleges that Kalanick made material misstatements and hid crucial information about company problems from the board in order to attain more power there. It specifically claims, and quote, "Kalanick intentionally concealed and failed to disclose his gross mismanagement and other misconduct," close quote. In, among other things, it calls out Kalanick's personal involvement in an Uber executive's alleged theft of medical records of a woman who was raped by her Uber driver in India. That was the number one guy in India, and he passed those records around to all the Uber hotshots. So there we got that.
And just that just made me bring up this particular piece. you know, nothing happens without a reaction. So one day after Uber investor Benchmark filed a lawsuit against ousted Uber CEO Travis Kalanick for breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, and fraud in a transparent attempt to strip him of the rights of founder and shareholder, a group of Uber investors has asked Benchmark to step down from Uber's board.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, yeah. Well, also in a related story, and I don't have the name up in front of me anymore, the very first Uber employee and CEO has stepped down himself.
Yes, he did.
This is, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is not a sinking ship. This is a submerged ship. This is, if they close the windows, it will be a submarine. For those of you that don't really understand how evil this corporation is, well, they're getting theirs right now. Oh, the top dogs will make their money. There's no question about that. But for the most part, they're going to leave a trail of destruction, the likes of which the world has never seen, to coin a phrase.
Fire and what was it?
Fury. Fire and Fury. Weren't they on American Gladiators, Fire and Fury?
I think they might have been.
I think they were. So, you know, and we'll get to him in a minute. But, so Uber is sinking fast. What they're using right now on this sinking boat is lead-lined life preservers.
Oh, yeah.
Everything that gets handed to them now is just, well, it's just all coming back to bite them now. You act like a jerk, it comes back karma. Karma is the biggest bitch on 2 feet. Believe you me.
Yes, it is.
Believe you me. And I've known some of the biggest bitches on 2 feet. And I won't say any names. But.
Oh, so let's get to the lighter side here a little bit.
Oh, you mean nuclear destruction?
No.
By the way, I'm a big fan of not only the movie by the name, but the whole concept of Armageddon.
Yeah?
I want to go with everybody else. I want it to be a group effort. I want to see the planet end. I love the idea of the apocalypse. I want to be part of the apocalypse. I love movies and books and anything based on an apocalypse. That's why I love The Walking Dead and all that good stuff. So
don't look behind you. There's two gentlemen in white coats. Just
don't tease me.
And I can see these gentlemen. Remember, I'm watching you there. Oh, anyways, so over in England, apparently a Uber driver whose car got stuck on Long Sands Beach was freed by a life brigade group. Oh, I can't even. Oh, Tynemouth volunteer life brigade say that the driver had parked on the beach on Saturday night to pick up a fare, but the customer didn't turn up. This is one of those things, like you mentioned, where you could have somebody out in the middle of in the middle of the ocean
dropping the pin.
Dropping the pin there. And I'm sure that's exactly what happened there.
But now you're
might have even been a prank.
Yeah, but now you're also talking about a nitwit who just blindly follows drove to the pin without even thinking twice about it. And again, I'll say it again. Our friends over in the UK get some of the greatest video of Uber drivers who have flipped their car, crashed their cars, put their cars in the strangest places. Excuse me. And these guys are all over it. And how the TfL, Transport for London, allows Uber to operate based on, I mean, it is just amazing. Just amazing. What these London Uber drivers are doing. They're just, I mean, it is almost like a comedy. You can't believe this much is happening. It's almost as if it's been planned this way. It's some kind of a joke.
Yeah, some sort of a sick joke.
Yeah.
Oh, so the Wild West has now become the Wild East. And now we're out in Philadelphia.
Ooh.
Where Uber and Lyft gutting.
Cheesesteak.
Cheesesteak is beautiful.
Oh,
yes, it is.
It's a wonderful thing. Let's talk about cheesesteak for half an hour.
Oh.
Mm. Onions or no?
Oh, definitely have onions.
Mushrooms or no?
Yes.
Excellent. You're okay. You will live today, sir.
Yes.
Moving on. Good. Philadelphia. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, though.
Uber and Lyft's gutting of the city cab industry and the legislation that made ride-sharing legal here have cost Philadelphia Parking Authority money and personnel, according to leading to regulatory chaos, officials said again a week ago Friday. For those who are unfamiliar with it, Philadelphia Parking Authority basically was the one charged with regulating taxis, and they also got put in charge of regulating Uber. The problem is with that, because of the monies that they're not getting anymore, they've had to cut down the regulatory staff from 12 to 8. And now it's the Wild West out there.
Sure.
And cabs are participating in it too. They say, fuck it, if you can't beat them, join them, you know?
And that's what you have to do. I've explained it to my folks, the way I operate out there. While I am perfectly legal, I have the licenses I need personally, I have commercial insurance, but technically, I really shouldn't be operating because the vehicle itself isn't licensed. But who's going to stop me anymore?
No,
there's no enforcement. So as long as I know I'm doing the right thing by my passengers and myself, I'm comfortable with how I'm operating, which is a shame. It's really a shame that it's come down to this. And I've seen evidence of rules that used to be solid, locked in there. You had to replace a vehicle at a certain time in a certain category. Now, it just doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, well, and as time goes on, because as I haven't seen any evidence, at least here, that the rideshare vehicles are going through, and forgive me for using that word rideshare.
Thank you.
But there's no evidence that TNC. Once the vehicle is inspected, that it goes in for an inspection every year. Now, maybe in New York City, maybe in a few other places, but generally nationwide and definitely up here in Minnesota, there's no evidence that there's any inspection process there. You know, these cars, after they've had 100,000 miles, you know, your average Prius isn't designed to hold up like a taxi cab.
Most cars aren't designed to hold up as a taxi.
And when you have an amateur driver there who doesn't know to make sure things are, you know, checked, fluid levels are checked, you do a daily inspection of your car to make sure tires and everything else are working properly, they're going to wind up within 5 years having a bunch of jalopies on the street picking up passengers, unsafe, unregulated, uninspected.
Gas and go, baby. Gas and go.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Turn the key. Let's go. I'm a taxi driver now. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. I'd be interested. I'm assuming this friend that has been kind of trolling me here, this friend of yours.
Les. Les is a wonderful human being. You want to talk about Les? He'll hate it. He won't listen. He's not listening. He's already told me. He says he likes the music on Radio TFI, but he doesn't need our opinions.
Yeah, well, I don't particularly need his either, but, you know. So let me guess.
Les served our country in the United States Navy, and he's a good guy. But
and we thank him for that, but beyond that, shut the hell up.
He is very, very – his opinions are his opinions, and you can't – the only problem is he won't listen to anybody else. But
now, I'm assuming he's an Uber driver?
Yes. Actually, he drove for me. He was one of my drivers for a long, long time, and there was a when he left me. The problem was the van I had him and his day driver in. It was I forget what happened. It was a motor or something, and the company at the time had now begun giving owners loaner cars if we had the work done at their garage. Mm-hmm. And the,
which makes perfect sense.
Right, right. Well, because now they have all these cars available, so they might as well keep drivers on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And Les did not want to drive a Prius. He says, look, Ed, I drive for you because I like driving the van. That's why I do it. Now, he had already been, he had bought a town and a Dodge Caravan himself a while back, and he was starting to do Uber a little bit on the side. And then he just branched off and started doing it full time. Now, he also has a bunch of hotels that he works with. And I, oh, he's probably 80% of what he does is just his hotel work. Mm-hmm. And to be quite honest, I feed off that work. He keeps me, you know, he's got his hands full. He gives me a call. There you go.
That's mighty nice of him.
He's a good little businessman, but you can't shake him. He can't see any of the wrong that Uber does. I don't know why. And he just does not see it. And I've learned just to not even have the conversation with him. It's just not worth it anymore. Hell, we sat in my office many a night, and just to get a point across. You can't get a point across with him. He is all Uber all the time. You know, and as I've said to him on more than one occasion, I think I said it in the post the other. Well, I thought he was coming after me. Turned out he was coming after you. you know, look, I admit that the taxi industry has problems, especially Yellow Cab here in Broward. Jeez, I could do 3 hours on that alone.
Yeah.
You know,
well, one of these days I want to do a show on why what the taxi cab industry needs to do if they have any chance, any chance of
that'll be next week.
Up. Let's plan that.
Let's lock that down.
We could dedicate an entire show to that.
Well, I think I've already I've touched on that a few times here and there, willy nilly. But I'd love to condense it into one show because I have ideas. But anyway, you would love Les in person. Les is a very nice guy, but don't try to get a word in edgewise with him. Les, if you're listening, we love you. And
speak for yourself. You obviously know him better than me. I only know from what he... Right.
Well, I know him personally. You know, yeah. He's sat across from me at this very desk that I'm sitting at now. You know, he's... You know, I he helped me out a couple of weeks ago, as a matter of fact, when I had some car problems. So, you know, he's... again, the one good thing about Les is that he's very good at compartmentalizing. He can go round and round with you about an Uber thing, okay, and he's not going to budge. But you shift to a completely different subject. It's a complete, you know, he doesn't hold a grudge because you don't agree with him on that particular topic.
Oh, it's kind of like having conservative friends. You know, there are I have friends that no matter what the subject is, they take the conservative side to it, and we're still friends. You know, we're still, you know, I have a friend that I met out when I was driving out in Las Vegas, who actually I moved with his family down to Orlando for a small period of time until the hurricanes chased me out in 2004. So,
chicken.
But, well, you know, the thing was, is that when Hurricane Charlie came through, it didn't... there was no structural damage to the place that I was living in, but I was without power for 8 days.
Chicken.
And the neighborhood that I was in, you know, you don't, you know, you just don't. It's the last place. It was the last place in the county to get their power restored. You know, I made the best of it, though. You know, I had an old van that I wasn't using. I hooked up a power inverter to it, so at least I had an alarm clock and a fan to do that I could. Yeah. So sometimes you do improvise, but do you know how expensive and how hard to find generators are when you have a hurricane bearing down on you?
I have a vague idea.
Now, do you? I should ask you. We're really getting off topic here, but oh well. It's our show. We can do that if we want.
That is correct.
Do you have a generator?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I would get a feeling that it's almost standard equipment in Florida.
Well, it was interesting the way I got mine. I went to, a few years back, went to help a friend of mine clear out a storage space. And I had just sold him one of my old Crown Vics. And he was paying me, once a week. So we're moving all this stuff out, and there's this brand spanking new still-in-the-box generator. And he said to me, "Look, I bought that. I've never used it, and I don't want it. You want to do a swap?" And the receipt was taped to the box. It was within a couple of dollars of what he owed me. I said, "Sure." So now I've got a generator I've never used. It's in my kitchen, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's a good thing to have. As I understand it, you're starting to the hurricane season this year looks like it's going to be worse than it has been in previous years.
If you're listening to that nitwit out in Colorado, look, nobody knows what it's going to be like. They can speculate. Here, you've got Dr. Gray out in Colorado, who every year comes up with his fabulous predictions on how many storms, how many named storms, how many major storms. 2004, 2005 were the two busiest years on record for hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, I mean, literally, and you can go back and check this, there were three storms at a clip out in the Atlantic, like conga lines. No joke. Well, every month, the fabulous Dr. Gray would come out and revise his predictions. Oh, we're going to, by September, he says, well, we're going to have a heavier than normal year. No shit, Sherlock. We've already been bad. Look, storms come like they come. Hurricane Franklin formed and made landfall in about 20 minutes off the Yucatan Peninsula earlier this week. You don't know when they're going to pop up. Now, what we're coming into now, we're coming into mid to late August and early September, where the storms start forming off the African coast. These are the monster storms because they have a lot of time to build up a head of steam. Don't talk to me about hurricanes, Slick. I live here. God damn it. We're all amateur meteorologists. Don't you even start with me about hurricanes and how they can. Keep something in mind. February is the only month of the year where an Atlantic hurricane has not formed since they've been keeping records. On the same token, hurricanes do not read calendars.
No, exactly.
They also do not know that a place is overdue or hasn't been hit in, when Wilma hit us back in 2005, Fort Lauderdale had not taken a direct hit in 55 years. Or is it since 1955? I forget. We got brushed by Andrew in 92, which still not a pleasant experience, but don't you talk to me about hurricanes, you. I won't talk to you about living in the Arctic and my mucklucks and toques, and you're going to talk to me about hurricanes.
Oh,
and yes,
Jesus.
By the way, I have a camping stove. I have 10 small cans of bottles of propane. I have light sticks.
You're prepared.
Yeah. I also bought little solar garden lights for $1 apiece. You know why? Because at least you can have light, general light in the apartment when the power goes out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost you anything. You stick them out in the backyard all day, having gone without power. And it looks like now this is why we shouldn't see each other. Now I can see you're exasperated. You're wiping.
No.
Oh,
no, it's a condition that every once in a while I have to do that.
It's called Ed Keeps Going On and On, itis.
Ed droning.
there you go. It's rantophobia. That's what it is. That's what it is. I'll tell you what. This Skype thing is going to be the end of us.
I think it's fun right now.
I've seen you naked and I've seen you diss me now.
So this isn't
going well for you. That's all I can say.
Yeah. Well, I've seen you lean back like, oh, when are you going to finish like that? So
should I sit here? Should I sit here doing this?
Yeah, you should be. We should be hanging off my every word.
And again, that was funny for one person because he could actually see me. Folks, shit. If you're going to try to get a hold of us today, call John because I can't deal with. I don't know.
Yeah, John Shannon on Skype.
There you go.
Well, I should come up with something a little bit more unique for a username, because as I found, there's about 50,000 John Shannons on Skype. Well, but anyway, well, listen, I want to backpedal just a little bit, because I have a kind of a funny story going back to back to Uber. Okay. It was funny. I had a passenger yesterday.
Or is it okay if I lean back while I listen to this?
No. I don't care. Take a nap. I don't give a shit. Yeah, well, I'm not that desperate, and you're not that lucky. Anyways, I don't you jackass. Oh, for those who can't now, never mind. I'm not even going to describe that. But anyways, I had a passenger I picked up yesterday, and she about halfway through the ride, she asked me why I wasn't driving for Uber, you know, Uber or Lyft. And like I said in a tweet, I could have taken her all the way to Chicago and I wouldn't have had enough time to finish that story. But as we got closer and she started hemorrhaging over the fare, which now was over $20, she started, you know, she was a black lady. I'm pretty sure she was a lesbian, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, she started getting in, well, you cab drivers just like to nigger fuck us. And, then I started getting a little irritated with her. So at that point, I still kept my cool. But in the meantime, she was saying, well, you know, I'm a school custodian, and I'm under contract, and I make great money, and you're bitching about the cab fare, as you're bitching about the cab fare. But when I finally had enough, I said, okay, hey, listen, how would you like it? You know, you got a nice, rich contract with your school district that allows you to clean up kids' puke or whatever else you do in the school. And how would you like it, though, if all of a sudden your school district decided, well, you know what, there's an organization that can do this cheaper. They're subsidized by some outside investor, and they can do this for peanuts compared to what you're making. How would you like it if all of a sudden you were replaced by that? And she kept trying to step over me and say, well, we got a contract. Contracts expire. Not saying it's going to happen instantly. Contracts expire. Annie, she's a teacher. She's dealing with this whole situation too, where they have people with workplace experience that are coming in as teachers and without licensing. And it's the same.
Where have I heard that before?
Yeah, it's the same concept as Uber. Exactly. And I'm telling you, by the time I dropped her off, you know, it had gotten to be $27.50. She handed me the $27, and she was reaching in her pocket. You could hear the change, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to worry about the 50 cents. Just piss off. I didn't say piss off, but that was the
thank you.
That was
the general good night. Thought. Goodbye. That's
yeah.
I just played a wonderful piece of music, then realized you can't hear it. I don't understand. You can hear. Oh, I know why. All right. Well, we'll get to this.
Okay.
All right. All right. Now
I have my theories, but then again, what's that mean? Hey, you know what? Uber drivers are now drug runners.
Stop.
Yes, they are drug runners. An Uber driver was busted for ferrying street-grade fentanyl and heroin in his black Honda Accord for a narcotics trafficking ring, authorities said on Monday. Agents pulled over Uber driver Richard Rodriguez in Harlem on August 4th and allegedly discovered David Rodriguez in the backseat with two boxes of drugs, according to the New York City's special narcotics prosecutor. Authorities said they had 448 Central Park West near 105th Street under surveillance and had spotted David Rodriguez climb into the back seat with a contraband. The boxes allegedly contained two clear plastic bags of a tan powdery substance and several packages wrapped in plastic and tape. So now, let me get down to the end of this. Park said, where authorities seized 3 more kilograms of fentanyl and heroin and 1,100 dose glassine envelope stamped with the brand name Uber.
Ooh.
So, yes, now we have drug runners. And that doesn't surprise me any. Doesn't surprise me any. You remember the fake Uber driver that we talked about several months ago?
Which
one? You know, the one that was driving for driving under his girlfriend's account?
Oh, yes.
Well, yes. That was his big dream, was to
drug running?
Be a pot runner, to bring Uber style, be able to bring. Of course, now this was in California, where now marijuana is legal.
Yes.
But at the time it wasn't, and that was going to be his gig. He was going to deliver you your it was kind of like Uber Eats, you know.
I mean, it's even in the taxi business now, it's always been too easy for somebody to call for a cab as the driver pulls up and says, "Here, bring this box to my girlfriend. Here's $50." And yeah. Honestly, you have no idea what you're transporting.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, that's always been an issue, but now at the dirt discount rates of Uber, you know, sure, why wouldn't I transport my drugs that way? That just seems to be, you know, cost effective. That's good business, man. That's good business.
Yeah, and doing it at a cheaper rate.
Absolutely. And we pass the savings along to you.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, do you think that they... Somehow I doubt it. In Oklahoma City, an Oklahoma City Uber driver was allegedly sexually assaulted.
Was it Randy Uberman?
By one of her passengers at a Metro hotel. It was early Friday morning, again a week ago Friday, when police received a rather unusual call, said Sergeant Gary Knight of the Oklahoma City Police Department. The call alerted them of alleged sexual assault at the Marriott Town Place Suites in Oklahoma City. An Uber driver had taken a person to a hotel to drop them off. The driver was female. The passenger was male. The male indicated he needed help getting into his room, Knight said. Now, I could go on and drone on and read the story, but basically what happened was this amateur driver, female, decided to take this driver or take this passenger at his word and follow him up to his hotel room where, guess what, she was sexually assaulted. Basically, he went into the bathroom, came out with no pants on, grabbed himself a little mammary gland, and thankfully that was it. She got on out of there.
That's how I end all my fares too.
Yes, exactly. Grab a little chichi on the end there.
Why wouldn't you?
Yes, exactly. For you know what, I'm not victim shaming here. Trust me, I'm not. No driver. No cab driver, at least, in their right mind, would follow somebody into a room. Bad things can happen. You know, you follow somebody into some place where you're looking to get paid. And, well, here, listen, I have to go here. Come on with me. You know, she's lucky that's all that happened to her. She could have gotten ambushed and killed for
Absolutely. To be fair, we all had a first day. That being said, we're all rookies at some point. We're all learned the business. None of us were born with the knowledge of how to deal with situations like this. That being said, a little common sense goes a long way, especially as a female.
I was just going to say that.
Go into the hotel, fine. Let the desk clerk know you're going to room XYZ. When you get there, you do not go into the room. You stand in the door with your foot in the door so that they can't close the door. Once they close the door, you've lost them.
Right.
And just nowadays you have your cell phone with you. Have the 911 pre-dialed.
Ready to shoot.
And, you know, you've got to use a little common sense. And, you know, I missed the first part of the story. Why would an Uber driver even be going up to the room?
Well, apparently the passenger said he needed assistance up to his room.
Yeah, well, not my job.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Not my job. I'll get you out to the bench in front of the hotel.
Yeah.
You're good from there. And especially exactly. If it's a young lady and yeah, you don't want to victim shame, but we could have thought this one through a little better. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's not worth the $2.50 that you're getting paid. And by the way, to those lovely people in Lauderdale-by-the-Sea who, when I pulled up, they had a BMW and a Jaguar in the garage, went for the minimum ride, did nothing but exalt the splendor of Uber the entire ride, and went on about how they're hooked on Uber, and they love it and can't get enough of it, and we do this ride all the time. $2.47 I got. No tip online, no tip. You would think they would have a crisp $5 bill waiting. You do it all the time. You got the money. You don't want to use the cabs? That's another topic for another time. Throw the guy a couple of bucks. And then have the nerve to slam my door on the way out.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh. You know, the thing is how do you end that? Well, maybe you give the passenger a one star. Don't they collect enough one stars that could...
You give them a three or under and you'll never be matched with them again.
Well, that's the answer to that.
That's,
I mean,
that's my solution to it.
Yeah.
That's my solution to it. By the way,
quickly,
go ahead. You have 2.5 minutes.
Okay, well, then I want to cover this really quick, that it looks like Uber is phasing out its subprime car leasing division. And then further down the road, it says here they're going to shut down their U.S. car leasing business. So here, for those of you...
You can't hear what I'm doing.
Huh?
You can't hear what I'm doing. I'm playing sound effects. Go ahead.
Oh. For those of you who counted on Uber to lease you a vehicle, I think it's two different... We're talking about two different stories here. The one story is the ones that the Uber was selling or went through a car reseller or whatever to give subprime car loans.
That's the exchange leasing. No, you're talking about the same thing. Uber's losing $9,000 a car. They anticipated losing, I think it was, oh no, no, they anticipated losing $900. No, $500 per car, and it turns out they're losing $9,000 per car on average. And it's a screw deal for everybody involved, including Uber. And so now there's going to be a whole bunch of guys out there who will not be able to operate on the street because Uber's going to take their cars back. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Well, get them off the street one way or another, I guess.
Once again, our ship is sinking. Here's your lead-filled life raft.
Oh, yes.
It's going downhill. Oh, yes. It's going fast. It is, anyway, so, so with our last minute or so, how's Trix?
Well, same old, same old. It actually was kind of a slow week this week for me. I, probably only made a little, about $650 after gas, or lease gas and expenses, is definitely below my standard.
Well, I don't really need to know your exact income, but...
Well, why not? What the hell? I'm, you know, we're all into this happy, happy, sherry type thing, so hell?
I'm not that happy, happy, sherry. Absolutely. I'm not telling you what I make, and I don't really give a flying rat's behind what you make. That's, you know, so...
Well, it's like I said before, you know, our company's learned how to diversify... we've got like 200 hybrid cabs running around right now, who basically thumbing their nose at the same regulatory body that screwed them over. So,
by the way, c'est la vie. By the way, Talk Too Much is playing right now. You can't hear it.
Okay,
we're in the close. We're closing out.
Well,
now's the time to say goodbye.
Say goodbye, Dick.
Goodbye, Dick. That's going to do it for this week. I'm Ed Van Ness. For John Shannon.
Shannon.
He's John Shannon. Not me.
That's right.
Let's try that again. I'm Ed Van Ness.
I'm John Shannon.
This has been the Taxi Stand Hour. So long.
On Radio TFI.
See ya!